Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Log on to trapshootingbros.com. Hey, Rob, do you know anybody that needs to attend a shooting clinic?
No, I don't know anyone that needs to improve their shooting skills.
Foster Barthlow Shooting Clinics probably has something for a little bit of everybody, whether it's a rifle, but we're talking shotguns specifically here. Good morning, Foster.
Good morning, Foster.
How you doing, brother?
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Now, are you standing on top of a little knoll over there in South Dakota somewhere getting some cell service? Because you're supposed to be out archery hunting antelope this morning. Where are you at currently, buddy?
Yep, I am on the highest knoll I can find right now with some good service.
Out behind the hay bale, the haystack there somewhere. Now, so speaking of which, so this archery season back there for antelope sounds like a total blast. You guys use decoys to sneak up on these things quite a bit. Talk about that a little bit, and then talk about this new e-bike of yours as well before we get to some shooting tips, buddy.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, archery hunting. South Dakota, we're blessed. We have so many opportunities to hunt from archery, shotgun, rifle, but with archery antelope, there's a few different ways of hunting them. Some guys like to go out and decoy them, and that's usually a good kind of mid-season right before your rifle hunters start up. In South Dakota, you have a split season for archery, so you have it starting in August and essentially stopping for rifle, and then after rifle season is done, then it continues on until the end of the month for October. So, but yeah, there's a few different ways of hunting them. A lot of guys, you know, when it's super warm out, 100 degrees, they're going to set up a blind and sit on a water hole, but it's about 40 degrees today in South Dakota, so I don't think I'm going to be doing that.
And do you use the decoy thing and like hide behind the decoy and then sneak up on them? Like, you know, I've seen guys using cow decoys and like an antelope, like a deal that mounts actually on your bow. What kind of setup are you using, buddy?
I do have one of the Montana decoys. Mm-hmm. It's really limited on when it works. So I've tried it. Honestly, I haven't had a ton of luck, but at least this year I haven't had a ton of luck, but have had luck in the past. But yeah, with that Rambo bike, mm-hmm. end up going with the Megatron. It's a 1,000-watt front and rear wheel hub motor. And that thing will get you anywhere you want to go. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and it's got two motors and two batteries as well, right?
Yep, we're planning on using it for goose hunting, obviously big game hunting. I get an elk tag next year, I'll be using that like crazy. So it's a good tool for sure.
So back to the decoy thing real quick. So are there cows out there? You got cows?
No, there's no cows in South Dakota.
Are there cows out where you're hunting antelope?
There is, yep.
Have you ever used one of the cow decoys?
I haven't, but that's a really good idea.
Well, Rob and I are heading to Montana here in about a week.
Rob's
going to write an article,
yeah,
a full article on how to hide behind your cow decoy when sneaking up on mule deer.
This is a full cow. We can hide like four guys behind this thing.
Rob's like 6'8", so we needed the biggest cow they
had. I'm not even going to ask who the front and who the back is. I'm just not, okay? So, this segment's going to go right downhill, dude. We need to get to shotgun shooting fast here, buddy. So when you're running some of your clinics, what are some of the common misconceptions about shotgun shooting that keeps guys from reaching their full potential, no matter if they're busting clays or busting birds?
Well, I think the biggest thing when it comes down to it is more the hunting side of things, and really that comes to not leading the target enough is typically what we see. And that can be from stance, that can be from your footwork and essentially how your body is positioned. If you're not giving yourself the opportunity to swing through the target, it makes it a lot more difficult. So that's one of the things that we cover in our clinics, is just obviously the stance and footwork portion of it, but also how to have a consistent swing and kind of kind of maintain that just for improved accuracy.
So speaking of swing, I mean, this is kind of how I, you know, when we're waterfowl hunting, this is kind of how I approach, you know, a duck's coming in. I start at the tail and I kind of paint that duck with the shotgun. I kind of, and then I kind of throw my shot string across that buck from or that duck, excuse me, from the tail up through the bill. Anything I should change, or if other folks are using the same approach, anything that you would change with that?
Well, as you know, there's so many different angles, different, you know, scenarios, but yeah, if they're coming straight in at you, painting with it right on, but if they're, you know, if you have a side shot, but I do the same thing, tail, head, beak, usually a foot or two in front of them, and then pull the trigger and keep following through.
Well, there's so many variables.
You could also try.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
awesome.
If you have a shot cam, that's one thing we started using a few years ago, and it's been a great tool for not only getting really cool footage, but also learning from that and seeing where your mistakes are, seeing where you're missing it, because you can go frame by frame, check out exactly where you're shooting, and it's helped me a ton to improve my waterfowl hunting.
Great. I get to go back and watch miss after miss after miss.
But it's interesting that you know, anytime you're trying to coach a kid, no matter what it is, whether it's hitting baseballs or shooting or you know, blocking, whatever, it starts with footwork. And as does, like, I was thinking about this when you know, we were pheasant hunting the other day, is, you know, when your dog, it starts indicating to you that she's hot on a bird, the first thing you want to do is set your feet up and follow that dog, so you don't have your upper body at a weird angle. How do you approach that in the field with regard to getting your feet right to make the right swing on a bird, Foster?
Yeah, exactly what you just said. We were out grouse hunting yesterday, and like you said, a lot of people they see the dog getting hot, they get excited, you know, and your nerves, excitement starts building up, and all of a sudden the pheasant or the grouse flushes, and your footwork's not in the right place, you're fumbling to try to get up on the shot. And so kind of one thing I do is when a dog starts getting hot on a bird, is kind of go through the scenarios of where could it get up at and what are my options going to be, at least so I have a good idea of what to expect. And then obviously once that bird gets up and it goes in the direction, we'll just say a little bit to the left, I know what to do with my footwork. I can get in the right position, get in front of that bird, pull the trigger, and follow through, and typically make a good shot on it.
So when you're selecting a shotgun, you're a Browning guy like we are, you get different rib designs on a shotgun. I mean, like, you'll see a shotgun designed for trap will have a rib that stands way off the barrel. You know, some of our A5s have a pretty short rib on them because the birds are usually coming down. You know, can you point anybody in the right direction here? I mean, obviously you don't want to take your trap gun out to the duck blind, but there's some stuff you need to look at when you're picking out a shotgun. You kind of need to know what you're going to use it for before you hit the field, right?
Yeah, definitely. So you have your trap shooting grade shotguns and you have your hunting grade shotguns. It's kind of the way I explain it. Trap shooting grade is going to have a lot higher rib. With trap shooting, you're basically, you have a higher point of impact with it, and you can adjust the rib with it. So being adjustable, it is a little bit higher, but yeah, you're typically shooting 70-30 pattern, which is about 4 inches high on the target. So what that means is you're not ever having to cover the target with the bead out trap shooting. You're putting it at the bottom edge of that clay target, pulling the trigger so you never lose sight of it. Hunting's the exact opposite. You want to pretty much cover that target, and you want to be having that point of impact shooting exactly where you're aiming. So the ribs will be a little bit, obviously, shorter with hunting. Like you said, the A5 does have a really short rib. I'm really liking the Maxis too, personally. It has a little higher rib, so it feels good to me. With the rubber over moldings and some of the new features on that Maxis too, it is a really nice shotgun. And we put it through the test and it's performed really well in everything from 60-degree days out pheasant hunting to, I think the coldest was -25 or -30 last year out goose hunting.
Oof.
And never skipped a beat.
Jeez. Wow.
Do you, when, you know, the old country line is beware of the man with one gun, for he surely knows how to use it. But I, you know, I'm guessing, you know, you've got a golf bag full of shotguns, right? And you're using something different on the trap field as you are in the field. So are you sticking with that Maxis or an A5 in the field? And do you take that same gun to the trap range? Are you shooting a BT-99 or something when you're seriously competitive shooting?
Sure. That's a great question. So when we're competitively trap shooting, I'll be taking one of the 725 Satori's out, just because, and we also have, we use a few different ones just depending on, you have singles, handicap, and doubles for trap shooting. Singles is at the 16-yard line. Handicap can go anywhere from the 19 to the 27-yard line just based on your skill and earned yardage. And then doubles is where two of them come out, and you're starting at the 16-yard, or you shoot at the 16-yard line. So for those, they have specific needs for a shotgun, and obviously we use the trap shooting grade shotguns for those just because they're set up more for those specific needs.
I like to shoot my A5 like a 3.5-inch mag in there, trap shooting, because I might miss the first two shots. Then I can reach way out there and pop one, you know, down there 60, 70 yards, you know, with some, like, with some 3.5 blends or,
well,
something.
Yeah,
maybe some threes.
Oh, dude.
Oh yeah!
So I tell you what, we'll shoot at trap ranges around here every now and then, Bart Foster, and you know, guys are out there and they got their AA trap loads, right? Then all of a sudden somebody's shooting next to you with an automatic, and they bring their field loads out, and the hulls are just bam, you're hitting the guy next to you, and you can hear them, right? I mean, everybody's got shotgun a trap load. Boom!
Well, then I smoke the guy over here, misses his. I'll smoke his too out there. You know?
I got it, buddy. Don't worry about it.
Down.
That's when you know you're shooting with Robbo.
Covering the whole range, man.
Yeah,
it's
the
all
boss
my
shot
shooting.
Shell. There
hey,
you
why
go.
Does that guy keep shooting mine?
Hey, man, we got to get you out here for a shooting clinic one of these days. A lot of kids out here that would love to see you and your brother out this way. We need to get you out here for one of those deals. And then Joe and I just got our preference points submitted yesterday.
Yes.
For South Dakota. So we're going to be talking, buddy.
Perfect. Awesome. And yeah, if you have a new shooter or upland hunter, anybody that's hunting specifically, definitely have them go out to the range with that shotgun and get time behind the device, make sure it's shooting where you want it to be. If you have an opportunity, pattern that shotgun. I try to do it every year before the season. Just, it's one of those mental processes that it helps me know that I'm shooting exactly where I'm pointing. And so when I get out on the field for pheasant hunting and a bird gets up, I know exactly what to be doing and where it's going to be shooting.
Great call. Foster Barthlow, go check out trapshootingbros.com. Thank you for your time, Foster, and keep in touch, my friend.
Thanks, buddy. We'll be in touch,
Foster.
Man. Have a great weekend. Go get that antelope.
All right, we'll do that. We'll see you.
All right,
take care. All right, coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
There's a winter blackmouth opener in Marine Area 11 coming up here this week. You heard that right. A winter blackmouth fishing season is slated to be open in Marine Area 11 near Tacoma from Monday, November 1st through December 31st. Limits two hatchery blackmouth over 22 inches per person per day. Trolling spoons, vine, a flasher, and jigging will both produce blackmouth to Point Defiance area. Expect to see a pile of boats jigging off the point on the opener. White Puget Pounder jigs in the 3 to 6 ounce sizes are a staple at Point Defiance. For both winter blackmouth and summer chinook, there's an impact guideline placed on the fishery of just 1,000 blackmouth. If there's an abundance of sublegal chinook in the area, the season could definitely be closed down early.
Those new 3-ouncers are brutal, man. We got some of those. Razor clam digs okayed for the Washington coast. Shellfish managers of the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife just approved the next round of razor clam digs on the Washington coast. The first day of digs kicks off Wednesday, November 3rd, and runs through the following Wednesday, November 10th. There's a bonus limit of 20 razor clams this winter. And so far, they've harvested an estimated 2.3 million clams off the Washington coast. Not all beaches are open every day of the dig. Be sure to check out the WDFW Shellfish page before you head out on the coast for In Search of Razor Clams.
The Olympic Peninsula Steelhead Fishery Town Hall meeting held last week painted a fairly grim picture of the coming steelhead fishing options coming up this winter. The options included closing all river systems on the Olympic Peninsula during the wild steelhead run, the same regulations as last season with closed days, and status quo in select areas with reduced days. The only system projected to see an adequate run of winter steelhead this winter is the Quileute. That includes the Bogie and Solduck rivers.
According to information shared by WDFW during the meeting, the entire Chehalis system could be closed altogether for winter steelhead fishing. The next town hall meeting is scheduled for November 9th from 5 to 7 p.m. For more information about the meetings, that can be found on the Coastal Steelhead Management page on the WDFW website.
For the first time in a decade, WDFW officials have been testing for the deadly disease in deer known as chronic wasting disease. Check stations were set up in Northeast Washington to sample deer on the general season opener 2 weeks ago with a goal of sampling 1,200 animals. So far, CWD hasn't reared its ugly head in Washington, but it's been detected not far away in Libby, Montana. Fish and Game officials are hoping to keep it at bay and isolate cases if they pop up in northeastern Washington. A CWD outbreak can kill as much as 19% of the affected deer herd per year, and that's cause for concern here in Washington. For out-of-state hunters, there are strict guidelines for importing game animals into Washington. Visit WDFW website for a complete list of chronic wasting disease guidelines.
Waterfowl season underway through January. After a two-day break, waterfowl season got back underway again this Wednesday, October 27th, and will run through January 30th. After multiple storms rolled through western Washington this past week, there's no shortage of water, and that's caused the ducks to spread out. You'll find them anywhere from the bay fronts to the field. Kevin John from Holiday Sports of Burlington said the fields in Skagit Valley are full of sheet water right now, so it's anyone's guess as where to hunt. Scouting is the key to success right now. Find an area the birds are working and make a game plan to hunt those quackers.
With all the rain we've had, it's no surprise that the western Washington rivers are completely blown out. That means that river salmon fisheries are on hold until the flows recede to fishable levels again. The National Weather Service is forecasting nice weather for the next few days and then showers to move back in again on Monday. The lower Skagit, for instance, was flowing at nearly 80,000 CFS this past week. It averages around 11,000 CFS. It's going to take a while to flush out all the water of our out of our river system.
The Trout Whisperer, Dave Johnson himself at Kitsap Marina in Port Orchard, had a great trout fishing trip to Nawatzel Lake near Shelton last week. Nawatzel has been planted with over 15,000 jumbo trout in the month of October alone. Dave says the trout average 18 to 20 inches, and they are fat and healthy. He was trolling small wiggle wart plugs in rainbow trout and frog pattern to get bit, and he said the action was fast. Johnson said nearby Kitsap Lake and Bremerton is still kicking out trout as well. Kitsap received just over 3,500 rainbows, over a pound apiece, in late September. For more winter trout fishing opportunities, log on to WDFW website and search the catchable trout plant statistic. Dave says Kitsap Marina is busy right now doing winterizations, and he also wanted to mention that the service shop down at Tom's Outboard in Olympia is back up and running again. A fire damaged part of the building about a year ago, but they've got the service shop up and running again and hope to have the sales floor rebuilt sometime soon as well.
New Bassmaster video game released. No matter what the weather's doing, you still go fishing. The new Sport Fishing Simulator Bassmaster Fishing 2022 launched this week. The new video game features 8 famous bass fishing venues, including Lake Ray Roberts, Lake Gunterville, St. Lawrence River, to name a few. Career mode lets the angler start on the College Bassmaster Series, eventually work their way up to the Bassmaster Classic. Gamers can jump on a wrapped bass boat and create a custom player or play as one of the 10 elite pros. Bassmaster 2022 is available for PlayStation and Xbox. Unfortunately, there is no salmon fishing version, so go check out BassmasterTheGame.com for more information.
The National Weather Service is predicting a chance to see the Northern Lights in the Seattle area this weekend. The geomagnetic storm could be as visible as far south as Oregon. The best chance to see them was between 4 and 6 a.m. this morning, and again this evening from nightfall to about 3 a.m. tomorrow morning.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
I think it's fair to characterize this year's Washington Coast tuna fishery as a bust. Was it a bust?
Yeah, I think so.
Was it a bust? I think it was a bust.
It was a bust.
Yeah.
A bust.
Did Toback go?
Oh, I'm sure he went every weekend.
No.
I mean, he's going to go. If there's one tuna off the coast, Toback's going to catch.
He may have. Yeah. I know he went at least once.
Okay.
Let's say twice, okay? Let's go to Venice, Louisiana. Let's go to
where the tuna are plentiful,
dude,
and big,
and the food down there is crazy,
and the,
man.
I mean, so
the weather's good.
So Stan Brock, who used to coach Army and played for New Orleans Saints, you know, he's at our camp down at Bowie 10. Great guy, and he still fishes a ton down in Louisiana, and looks at me like I'm completely an idiot for never have gone down to Louisiana and experienced some of what they got down there. So go to voodoofishingcharters.com and check this out. The boats they fish on are 36 to 40 foot trip and quad powered. yellowfin boats. They're set up exactly for this. They run an ungodly rate of speed out to these oil rigs and just hammer these yellowfin, which pull on you until your arms fall off your shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Brittany Dykes lined up after the break here. She manages that Voodoo fishing charter fleet there, and I can only imagine all the stuff she deals with. Not only with all the customers, but all the knucklehead captains, because I just deal with myself on a daily basis. It's a complete disaster. But she runs the show down there. She's going to jump on after the break here. They've got a great program set up, running out to those oil rigs. See, all the fish stack up on these oil rigs offshore, and these boats just slice right through that chop out there in the Gulf and get you out to the fishing grounds. So let's get to Brittany here.
Let's go to Louisiana. And if you don't want to hear a Louisiana accent, then don't listen to Brittany Dykes next segment. We are going tuna fishing. You come with us next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Well, if you're sick of the weather now, just wait about 3 or 4 months until the sun starts shining again. In the meantime, let's strap a whole bunch of outboards to a whole bunch of boats and go down to Venice, Louisiana with VoodooFishingCharters.com and Brittany Dykes. Good morning, Brittany. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Brittany.
Morning, Brett.
Good morning, guys.
How's it going down there?
Hope y'all's weather's better than ours.
Oh, is it bad down there? It was pretty nice there this week. But what's going on down there in Venice, Louisiana right now?
It's beautiful sunshine, but the winds and the waves are a little bit amped up to be able to go offshore fishing. Hopefully Sunday, tomorrow will be our first day back out in 5 days.
Okay, but you've got the boats to handle a lot of that stuff. You're running, 36 to 42 foot yellow fins. Talk about your boats and how far offshore you run and how far out those oil rigs are, and just kind of give us a Cliff Notes version of what it's like to fish out of Venice, Louisiana.
Yeah, so we have 136 foot yellowfin, 339 foot yellowfin boats, and 342 foot yellowfin boats. My guys will travel anywhere from the wintertime, more near shore, from 20 miles to 75 miles out during the summertime. Typically have to travel out a little bit further during the summertime to get out to those further rigs. And then during the winter, fall and wintertime, now through March, the guys will either resort to fishing behind the shrimp boats, which has been super popular. And then also the midnight lump. I know a lot of customers read about that. That usually starts up December, January, February time frame.
So talk about the shrimp boats. I mean, these are draggers that are hauling shrimp up off the bottom. And when they bring those big nets up, there's all kinds of stuff falling out of the boat, and they're shoveling off bycatch and all that stuff. And those tuna get right in behind those boats.
The bycatch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. I was able to experience fishing behind the shrimp boats several years ago, and I guess the best way to explain it is it's like almost fishing on top of the aquarium. You look over the side of the boat, and there's so many different species of fish chasing after the shrimp boats, eating off of the nets that they're dragging, and then also eating the bycatch that they're pushing overboard as well.
Following that feed truck.
Oh, man.
Talk a little bit about the lump. I was reading about the lump. So that sounds like it's like, 50 miles out, and you have this big kind of underwater mountain, and all kinds of cool stuff kind of piles up there.
Yeah, that's right. It's basically what it is. It's just a spot under the water where, you know, my guys go out, and it is a little bit more, it's closer in versus the rigs. And like I said, it's just a super popular in, you know, area in the water that we fish on, you know, during the winter months.
It's a bank that holds yellowfin
fuel
tuna.
Yellowfin tuna, blackfin tuna.
Now your yellowfin tuna fishery, I mean, right now you're kind of starting to follow those shrimp boats a little bit right now, and you're catching yellowfin in the 50 to 150 pound range. Personally, I'll take a 50, 60 pounder all day long, but somebody hauled in a 228 pounder there recently. And you've got a limit down there of 3 tuna per day. But what I think is pretty cool is the charter fleet has self-imposed limit on these tuna of 2 apiece, just to keep that fishery going. I think that's pretty cool. And then this fishery is really going to get going.
Even though we're in huge competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even though we're in, you know, it's a really competitive area. majority of the captains, we've all come together mm-hmm. and put our own limit on it. You know, 2 tuna per person, 10 tuna per boat, depending on the size. I mean, if they're little smaller, you know, football size tuna or blackfin tuna, they may keep 12. Just like I said, depending on size, but for the most part, we're not going to go out there and kill 18 tuna just because the legal mm-hmm. limit says you can kill 18 tuna. It's yeah. just to conserve our fishery. You know, I would love for my children to be able to enjoy what helped raise them, in the future, and not, you know, be limited to one tuna per person or even, you know, one tuna per boat. We don't want it to get that way. So we've all kind of, mm-hmm. you know, grouped together and come up with that. You know, some customers greatly appreciate it. Some customers not so much, but we have more customers that appreciate it. So mm-hmm. it outweighs.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. And you know what? If you'll develop a clientele of people that don't mind it, and that's just fine. So,
yeah.
Tom's raising his hand, frantically raising his hand. He's got a question for you here, Brittany.
Brittany Dykes of VoodooFishingCharters.com joining us this morning. And Brittany, tell us a little about the logistics of this fishery. I'm sure you've got anglers coming in from all across the nation. Of course, you know, us up here in the Pacific Northwest would just like to be interested, you know, where would we fly to? Do you guys offer processing? What would it look like coming out for a day or two or three with you and potentially bringing some fish back home?
And you fly into New Orleans. New Orleans is the nearest airport to us commercial-wise, and then even private is New Orleans as well. It would be either New Orleans or the Lakefront Airport, mm-hmm. But still in New Orleans. And then I always suggest rent a vehicle to drive the hour and a half south
gotcha.
To us.
Gotcha.
Do not try to get an Uber. Don't try to get a taxi. It's just
rent,
you're
going
to pay a lot
car.
More money. And you don't want to be stranded. Yeah, you don't want to be stranded in Venice. There's not much to do other than fishing and hunting. Once my customers, you know, get down to us, go ahead.
Sounds like a great place to be stranded to
Wait
meet.
A minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm we might be moving yeah. there. You got a real estate agent we can talk to? We might be buying some property there. Yeah. Now you have packages and stuff. You got great lodging set up there. Last time we had you on, we were talking about your houseboat facilities right in the marina. The boats tie up right there. You walk out of your houseboat right onto the boat. Talk about some of your lodging and stuff,
onto
too, because you got a great mm-hmm. setup.
Yeah, so we have 5 different lodging options in the area that we are able to offer to our customers. 2 different locations. We have, you know, 2 houseboats located in the marina as well as a condo. And those are super popular, you know, super convenient. Literally, once you park there, you do not have to leave. There's a restaurant that's walking distance. You know, in the mornings, you wake up, grab your cup of coffee, and walk out on the back deck for the houseboat or the back dock of the condo and get straight on our boats in the morning. Like I said, super convenient. My customers, those are always my first places to book. And then if you have a little bit more, you know, low-key customer that doesn't want the chaos and craziness of the marina, we also have 2 other lodges that's located 4.7 miles from the Venice Marina and Cypress Cove Marina. And all of my places comfortably sleep 6 because the majority of our offshore groups are 6-man groups or lady groups. Mm-hmm. And at least 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. All of my places have fully stocked kitchens with pots, pans, utensils, gas grills out on the front porches or the back decks of the houseboat. So basically a home away from home. The only thing that my customers are responsible for bringing is their own personal hygiene products, food and drinks. Unless they book our full service mm-hmm. option. And with our full service option, my ladies go in and they will provide, we cook breakfast for our customers, lunches for the boat, and then a good home-cooked meal for whenever the guys get in from the day of fishing.
We're signing up. He's sending you an inquiry right now. He's filling out the deal online right now.
I'm bringing a toothbrush, an extra pair of underwear, wasabi, and soy. That's it.
Hey, so peak time. Now
You don't need to bring your own blankets.
Mm-hmm. Peak time?
We provide it all.
After the first of the year, when's peak time for yellowfin down there and kind of the best seas? When do folks really, really want to book down there?
So, I mean, we have some popular months that kind of pop out, but honestly and truly, mm-hmm. once February 1st rolls around, mm-hmm. we are full force fishing, as long as weather allows, of course. Mother Nature can be pretty brutal on us. But from February 1st up until Thanksgiving, we are, you know, all six boats will be booked every Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then even midday, you know, middays during the week, you know, we'll have all boats booked, which is, I mean, pretty amazing. And then after Thanksgiving, we'll kind of trickle down. And I'm assuming it's just because, you know, the chaos of holidays and, you know, family time. And then, of course, hunting season does start as well. Most of my fishermen are also hunters as well. So, you know, it slows down the month of December and January. And like I said, February 1st through Thanksgiving, we're slammed.
Yeah, I made the mistake of calling during hunting season last year and nobody answered the phone. I've tried to get Heavy on the phone. He was out hunting for like 3-4 months. He's the captain we want to talk to here at some point, but he sounds like a character.
Heavy is awesome. He usually takes off mid-December through the end of January, and he's like, don't call me. Yeah. I'm not fishing. He is my duck hunter. Out of all of my captains, Heavy is the duck hunting king. Absolutely. Heavy's MIA. Even his wife's like, I thought you were off for a month and a half. Like, stay home, you know, spend time with us. And he's hunting.
Yeah.
So he's definitely your all-around sportsman.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to connect his wife with our wives because there'd be but bad to come out of that.
They'd talk.
Now, we got to let you go here pretty quick here, Brittany. But last quick question, how fast do those boats go?
With a light load, probably in the late 50 mile per hour.
Wow.
We typically cruise with our customers between 40, 45 miles an hour.
Wow.
We try not to burn the heck out of fuel, you know, just because my customers do pay for the fuel.
Yeah.
Now, I do have some customers, they were like,
Get it.
Let's get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right on.
We want to be the first ones out there. And Heavy is a throttleman, a heavy throttleman.
We're fishing with Heavy.
We want Heavy.
We're bringing Nelly's checkbook, and we're fishing with
Heavy.
That's
it. That's it. Yep. We're coming. No question about it. If you got decent internet, we'll do a show from down there. There's no question about it. Brittany Dykes.
That's awesome.
VoodooFishingCharters.com. Thanks for your time this morning, and you're going to regret it.
Yeah. We wish you'd never talked to us.
Coming.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brittany. Right, have a great weekend. Stay out of tray for us. All right. See ya.
All right.
Yeah, sure will.
Thank you so much. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobsonRV.com's Really Where, and it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You got to be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
Just going back to the island of Tinny and the Lady.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got them?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really?
Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
Head into the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center, 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard in Marysville. You're going to find a complete selection of Class A diesels, Class Bs, Class Cs, Super Cs, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, campers, and so much more. That's Smoky Point Boulevard, Roy Robinson RV Center, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Well, I think I kind of want to go to Venice, Louisiana now. Just go hang out.
That bent my head.
Fridge stocked full of beer. Go jump on the quad-powered 42-foot yellowfin.
Chilled yellowfin tuna.
Oh,
man, so good.
Wasabi, soy sauce. And a black-tailed deer in the back of the truck.
All of the above.
Yeah, that's what's going on here this weekend because it's almost Halloween.
Yeah.
You know, and this last day of the general season is going to be your best chance to get one of these big, mature blacktails here on the west side. Mm-hmm. We've seen some crankers on our phones here the last couple of days. Our good buddy Andy Stout up on the north end shot just a beautiful blacktail yesterday. And then another friend of mine shot just a giant in southwest Washington a couple of days ago. Hit 8.5-inch bases on it. And that's what you're looking for. I mean, there's a lot of forkies and spikes around, and that's fine. But try to let those go. Try to focus on these mature bucks, you know.
The only time you're going to get a crack at them.
Mm-hmm.
All those pictures, too, we get on our phones, you know, it's a big, giant blacktail. It's laying on the ground.
Yeah.
Chocolate, red antlers.
Yeah.
Soaking wet.
Yeah. Yeah, soaking wet. Andy was out there. I think it was, It was Friday morning, and he was just pouring. He said he was just soaking wet, you know. And you're walking through Salal Brush, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, you kind of got to wear regular rain gear, like PVC rain gear, just to keep dry and be somewhat quiet, too, because you're still hunting a lot of times through this stuff. And you got to kind of stay quiet. I mean, you know, it is deer hunting after all. But that's kind of the program here this weekend. This is your best chance here until the late season. But right now, these bucks are out running around doing the deal. So.
Yep.
That's what's going on here this weekend. Also, the rivers are on a hard drop right now. Record rainfall this week punched everything out. But to our surprise, we got in here this morning, pulled up all the river levels, and these things are on a hard drop. Chehalis System rivers could fish here the next couple of days. Upper Skagit may fish. Callis is already fishing. They got the dam cranked down there, and they got water flows at least to fishable levels right now. And, I mean, we talked to Todd Daniels, Tall Tales Guide Service, this morning, and he was headed back to the Cowlitz. Yep.
Yeah, and the Skagit opened through the end of the year. I was up there last Friday. Ton of fish around. This water is going to – there were still fresh sea lice fish coming in and being caught around Cedar Woolley. This bump in water is going to bring a whole bunch of new fresh fish up. You know, so still the coho fishing is on fire.
Yeah, and,
oh,
and
for sure.
And,
yeah.
And we're open through the end of the year on the Skagit now.
Hump tulips, you know, the forks there, the Salduck, they're both open. And hump's going to take a little bit to come down. It takes a little while to flush that thing out, but there was a ton of coho in there to begin with. This is going to be going crazy. It's a one fish limit in there. The cool thing about that, there hasn't been many people out there. It's been really quiet. I've been talking to Scott Cypher, Canyon Man's Guide Service out there quite a bit. He's got that new Pavati drift boat. He said it's insane.
Like a $40,000 drift
boat.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, second mortgage drift boat. It grows itself pretty much down the river.
It's got an electric roll-up garage door on the side of it.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No kidding, it's got the geezer gate on it and everything. Yeah. But he said that the silver fishing out there has just been fantastic. Also, Monday, blackmouth fishing.
Yeah.
Blackmouth, really? In the South Sound? Yeah, it opens November 1st. Slated to be open through the end of the year, through December 31st, down in Marina Area 11 out of Tacoma there. There should be some blackmouth at Point Defiance. I mean, it's been closed here a little while. There should be some fish in that.
WDFW had their test fish crew out, and there are definitely
for
fish
sure.
Down there.
Yeah, talked to Bubba yesterday, Bobby Cannon, down at BOMAC, and he said the same thing. He was all excited getting the boat all ready for Monday, and Gabe Miller, the whole gang down there at Point Defiance Boathouse, you know they'll all be out chasing blackmouth on Monday.
And then also don't forget that you've got a great crabbing opportunity in the North Sound through the end of the year. And this high water just plays right into the crabbers' hands because it's flushed all those cricks out. We got a wind event, Joe Pyburn. Looks like it's going to show up middle of next week, Wednesday, Thursday. Maybe time to go hit those fields for some waterfowl again.
Yeah, definitely. I'll give it another shot. I mean, I came home with my tail between my legs yesterday, but it's not going to stop me. I'm going back.
You cannot trust a goose. There'd be 10 million geese in the air, and you can't get any of them. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Know?
But look, it only takes, you know, few good days of the season to you get a really good, you know, thumping on those things, and it makes it all worth it.
Got some kind of rough news earlier in the week with this coastal steelhead meeting on the 26th. I'm talking to Leo Paul Johnson yesterday about this. He sent me a slide along that kind of gave a little bit of an overview of maybe what we might expect on some of these coastal steelhead fisheries this winter, and it was grim. Like the Chehalis system was all red. Every option was red. Like, it's looking like it may actually be closed for the entire winter, which is just a punch right to the gut. Some of the coastal river, you know, in particular, the Quileute system had a pretty good-looking run for this winter. Could see some opportunity in there, but you know, if you thought the season was bad last winter, expect a little bit worse this year. They're going to have more meetings. The next one, I want to say it's the 6th or 9th or something like that. It's on the Coastal Steelhead Management page on WDFW website. There's more meetings coming up, but definitely expect some rough news on the steelhead front on the coast here.
Not to put you on the spot, but have you seen any preliminary wild Skagit?
Haven't seen
any
numbers. No, haven't seen anything yet there. No.
So that's something I'll definitely play.
But if we're not steelhead fishing, we could at least do some bass fishing on, you know, video game action here. I mean, you know, like any kids, our kids want to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they played Mario Kart with their cousins here a couple of days ago and just freaked out. And I'm like, oh, the video game thing just kills me. The last thing you want is them playing video games all the time. But now,
but if they have to play video games, they should be fishing.
Big buck hunter?
Yeah.
And now we got Bass Fishing 2022, Bassmaster Fishing. That sounds pretty cool.
Not until they get a salmon mode. Susie can shift that into salmon mode. I'm in.
All right.
Yeah. Come.
Right. Real quick, we got to get out of here. Nelly, quick, from the text toy, which guys would you recommend for Buoy 10? Quick. 5 seconds.
Austin Mosier, Matt Chandler, Get Hooked Northwest.
Eric Lindy.
And you know what? It's a pretty good thought. We're actually going to see our Buoy 10 forecasts here in a couple weeks. Which is going to be interesting. They'll pop out.
I'm going home playing Bassmaster Fishing. You just be quiet with that salmon talk there, Nelly.
You missed any of the show, jump onto MineNorthwest.com, jump onto your Apple podcast, jump onto TheOutdoorLine.com, and Matt will have those up shortly. Give us a follow on social media at Rob Ensley and at Joe Pyburn on Instagram, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, for Joey Blaze Orange Pyburn, that's Rob Ensley. I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line at 710 ESPN, Seattle.